gracious, loving Father, as we begin this special week here at Trinity, we ask your blessing upon our teachers, upon our students, upon our school, as we are all reminded that we are to go and to serve, to be your people, to live lives that shine forth the power of the gospel. And so let us reflect on what that means as we go out to serve you. Not to be served, but to serve. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today we begin a special week here at Trinity, National Lutheran Schools Week, a thing that is celebrated every year. Unfortunately, this celebration will be a little different than past years and hopefully even next year. A lot of activities usually take place during this week in most of our Lutheran schools. And in fact, when I talked to your principal the other day about some of this, he was almost apologetic that things have to be so different. But dealing with the pandemic, things do have to be different, as we are all concerned with where that may lead and in time. And yet we cannot ignore the importance of really that celebration, National Lutheran Schools Week, and even more important is the ministry that this church has carried on in this community for 75 years. Your Diamond Jubilee. A ministry that is a part of who you are. Whether you agree with it or not, it is a part of who you are and what you have been in this community over all of this time. And I have met many people who are products of that school. In my last congregation, I had a member who was one of your first students in the school. And I met one of his classmates the other day. The theme and the texts today are a little different than the normal out of the three-year lectionary cycle. But as I saw that gospel that was picked for National Lutheran Schools Week, and I read through the gospel, I thought, well, wait a minute, how does this apply to National Lutheran Schools Week? And then I saw the theme, don't you get it? Very apropos. How many times in an elementary classroom does a teacher stand there and give you all the beautiful instructions of the significance of the verb and its location in a sentence? And as she looks out over the class, there's Johnny or Sally, who obviously with those blank stares are saying, I don't get it. How many times have teachers had to go out of their way to help that student to better understand? It's a part of the teaching experience. Because no matter what class you teach, there are always those students that may struggle with certain concepts of learning or how to get that particular concept. For instance, some students struggle with algebra, while others get it beautifully. And some get it beautifully with geometry, but struggle with algebra. It isn't just in schools that this happens. How many times does it happen maybe between spouses where you have this nice discussion and obviously as your spouse looks at you, they're looking at you with, don't you get it? Not that I'm saying it ever happens to me. All right, George. I already know about you. No. It happens with our children. It happens in all kinds of relationships when we have these beautiful discussions and then the other person sort of looks at you as though you understand that they just don't get it. Sometimes that happens when a person is struggling with pain, a heartache, and they sit there all alone realizing that nobody understands what they're going through at the moment. And then we look at the gospel. It's a beautiful gospel. The mother of the sons of Zebedee comes up to Jesus with her sons. And kneeling before him, she asks him for something. Think about that. What mother doesn't want what's best for their sons? That's not a bad concept. Except what she was asking for. And you know, Jesus is polite enough, he doesn't just look at her with the eyes of, don't you get it? He looks at her with the eyes of compassion. It hasn't been long. A few previous chapters earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus had spent several moments talking to the disciples about his mission, the purpose for which he had come. And what happens immediately after that? He makes a passion prediction. And Peter says, oh, no, Lord. No, not that. Because Peter didn't get it. Did any of the disciples get it? No, they didn't get it either. Or when you come to Transfiguration here in a couple of Sundays, there they are on the mountain, those three disciples and the three booths and all this happening. And all of a sudden, the power of Christ is being displayed. And guess what? They don't get it. Even after the resurrection, as Jesus is about to ascend back into heaven, and there they are, all the disciples and Jesus gathered on the mountain, and what do the disciples ask? Are you at this time going to establish your kingdom? They don't get it. Now that we've been hard on them, how about us? How many times do we get it? We sometimes would rather think about other things. In the gospel here, what happens? As the mother asks for this special place, and it is a very special place, it's a wonderful thing for a mother to ask. But it's not something that Jesus can give. And you see what a beautiful text this really is, because there's nothing wrong with their question except how it is. And what we really don't get and understand about Jesus' ministry for all of us. How about our world today? How many times do we chase down so many rabbit holes? Because we just don't get it. Sin, powerfully at work in our lives. You know, when we look at Lutheran schools in our synod, it's kind of sad. They're not growing. Many of them are just sustaining. And yet what a special ministry we have, something that ought to be really lifted up throughout the body of Christ. It is a mission. It is a ministry. It is a part of who you are. And whether you agree with it or not, it is a part of proclaiming the gospel. It is going out and serving. And so oftentimes, rather than seeking His grace, we would rather seek His glory. And in so many issues in our lives, that's the case. Rather than grace, we would rather want to be covered with glory. This mother just wanted some sort of special place for her sons. And sometimes in the kingdom work, that's what people want. It's just that special place. They work very hard at being who they are and doing the ministry and serving, and yet their motivation is for that special place. Do you do that at work? How about with others? You see, sometimes we all want that special place. But how do the disciples react? The disciples, as Angela said, they were indignant. They didn't like it very much to hear that these two sons should be above them, because you see, they too weren't seeking grace. They were seeking the same glory. And how many times in our lives are we guilty of not getting it? We want to be more Christ-like. But to be Christ-like, we need to be servants first. And that's difficult. Because you see, he came to be servant of all. Our schools are to be a place that are safe, excellent education, lots of activities, to be beacons of light for Christ. In our school this year, two children and their father were baptized in a chapel service, a beacon of light. You see, Christ came for you and for me. The students, the teachers, every one of them are a special part of this ministry. Every teacher loves her students in a very special way. And they'd love to have students that all excel, whether it be in the language arts, math, science, English. But the beauty of being a teacher is watching young people grow and to see them bud through their education. Our Lutheran schools are an opportunity not only just to be witnesses, but to touch young lives. To touch young lives with the power of forgiveness, love, grace, mercy, life, and salvation. How does Jesus demonstrate that special place? Not by greatness, although he does accomplish greatness, but by his association with all people. By healing, teaching, responding to fathers and mothers for their sick and dying children, associating with sinners, tax collectors, washing feet. This is not the sign of greatness in much of the world. This is a sign of weakness. Because you see, oftentimes we just don't get it. The real beauty is understanding that Christ came as servant of all. That's why we need confession in our lives, either daily or even as we come together for worship and we begin with that confession. It is the recognition that we fall short and we need God's glory. We need God's light to shine upon us. And we need to help a world that just doesn't get it to understand the power of the gospel and what it means for every life. And so here you should rejoice, and we should be celebrating today what happens in those classrooms every day, that's taken into homes and lived out in lives. And to celebrate, to pray for, to rejoice in the ministry that God has given you in this place, and to focus on what you are able to give, not what you get out of it. Too often, we just don't get it. That's why we need to hear the message of the gospel time and time again in our lives. Amen.